listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Still to come on today's show, Pierre Desir, the rookie cornerback drafted in the fourth round by the Cleveland Browns, will join us around 2 p.m. Eastern. Actually, Vic sat down with him earlier today. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle as well will be with us later in the show around 2:30 p.m. Eastern. The new Cleveland Browns draft picks are in, including Pierre Desir, who will be on the show today. You can see them in action at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. If you guys want to talk to us about the rookie mini camp, give some questions. If you have questions about it, you got opinions about it, certainly hit us up, 216-578-0850. And we will hear now from some clips from Johnny Manziel, who was interviewed over the weekend after Saturday's rookie mini camp. For a guy obviously not in the media too much, he got to speak this day, and here's what he had to say when he was asked, why did you want to come here to Cleveland?
I think it's a great opportunity for me, from an organization, from when I came here on my visit, from Mr. Haslam to Ray Farmer to Coach Pettine to Coach Shanahan, Coach Loggins, all the way down. People wanted to win here, and you got a sense of that. They're tired of losing. They're tired of not having success.
You know, I like that. I like the idea that, and it sounds very sincere, and let's keep this in mind. There's no motivation other than, okay, yeah, these are the guys that drafted him, and these are the guys who ultimately will be signing him to a contract and paying his paycheck. But that could have happened somewhere else, obviously. It could have happened. Another team would have drafted Johnny Manziel had the Browns not done so. We know now Kansas City was very hot to make this move at 23. So could he be uttering the same narrative there? Yeah, he could. But I think it's different when you hear the guy. First of all, there was this pre-draft discussion about being excited and interested in the Browns. He expressed that in a conversation he had had with John McClain and others. I know when you talked with him and I talked with him in New York prior to the draft, there's been this sincere sense, and then tying it all together with the whole texting thing and telling the Browns to come get him and all that stuff. I think all of this is coming from a very kind of sincere, organic place, and I like it because it's reflective. Not only is it coming from a guy who is going to play that critical position for your team, but it's also a guy whose commentary and influence and leadership is going to rub off on others, on the other young group of this team.
Yeah, absolutely. People are pretty excited about it and excited about him, and the other players were excited about him. And if you go to ClevelandBrowns.com or get on the app, the Browns app, which you get at the App Store, you can hear Joel Bitonio talk about Terrence. They all talk about, they like that he's here. They've all liked him and embraced him as a guy, and Johnny Manziel's embraced them as teammates. He's not trying to say that he's better than anybody else. He wants to be a teammate, wants to help lead this turnaround. And we talked about this on the show from the day after the draft. I even talked about it with him the night of the draft. He wanted to be in Cleveland. This was the only place he was texting with, which is some of the question so many people had about this situation. I thought it was great. I love the story. And Johnny Manziel's a guy who is such a competitor that he had to be humbled by the draft process, and he talked about the long road that it's been to get where he is today.
It's been a long road to get here, and getting passed up 21 times is never fun, and obviously some of those teams weren't going to take quarterbacks, and we knew that going into it, but it's even humbling to be the second quarterback off the board. So for them to say that and come in and say that, I don't think I need to be humbled. I realize where I'm at in this organization and what I need to be doing, and that's all I'm really focused on.
Well, whether he needed to be or not, I'm glad it did work out just this way, because I think it does. There is a major difference. Had the Browns or anyone else taken this guy kind of top five, I'm not saying he would reflect it any differently in his discussion with the media or say anything publicly. But you just know as a mindset, Nathan, you come in as a top five guy and you come in with the, I say you're the first quarterback off the board, so on and so forth. It's a whole different perspective than realizing that many teams passed over you. And I think from a motivation standpoint, and I don't know that he needs more, but he's got motivation, because how many people are looking for all of this hype from the college level to fall flat on its face in the NFL. There's just a natural sense of those, you call them haters, call them whatever you want to, but there are those factions that he knows that kind of root against him that he wants to prove wrong, that too small, too this, too that. And I think, again, the extra weighting is a positive thing from a motivational standpoint.
There's no question about it. Plays into his ultra-competitive nature, et cetera, that, yeah, he wants to prove everybody who passed on him that they were wrong. 21 teams passed on him. 21 picks went by where they had the opportunity to select him, and he didn't go to number 22. That is certainly something that is going to weigh on his mind going forward, no question. Let's go on the phones to John in Chardon, talking about the media and their perception of what's going on with the way the Browns are handling Johnny Manziel.
Hey, guys, great show today, as always.
Appreciate it.
And, I think it's a huge pity party on the side of the national media. I mean, they're just trying to find the next story or trying to, kind of stir the pot up, I feel. And I think the real story, though, is going to be the relationship that Hoyer and Manziel are going to have and how that's going to hopefully, because I've seen a lot of stories as to whether or not, I heard one guy saying that Hoyer would be, he's a competitor. He'd be dead set against trying to give any hints or be a peer, or lend a helpful hand to Manziel and trying to, learn the league. And I just don't think that that's in Hoyer's DNA. I think he's going to go about his business, but also be a teammate as well and one that will lend a helping hand. So I think that's going to be one of the really, really great developing stories. And I hope that we can actually get some of the behind-the-scenes developments with those interactions between the two.
John, that's good stuff. Thank you for the call. I've heard those stories in the past from any number of players who have said, and it's not, I say any number, but I don't think it outweighs the reverse of this, but the stories of players who say they've gotten some actually intentionally bad info from teammates, veteran teammates, trying to steer them the wrong way. But a lot of times that's so transparent, the rookie can pick up on that. And I've heard it at the quarterback position as well, and just some anecdotes to that effect. I do not in any possible way see that happening with Brian Hoyer. I don't think he's wired that way. I think he's a team guy, and I think it's in his best interest if he's part of this team, whoever is out there playing quarterback, if it's not him, and when it's not him, because eventually Johnny Manziel is going to, he was drafted to be the franchise quarterback of this team ultimately, then I think it serves his interest as part of this team to try to help that guy out. And by the way, I think Johnny Manziel, for his part, there are certain things that I think he's extremely bright, sees things sometimes that another quarterback doesn't see, even a veteran one, and he can help Brian.
No question about it. And I think Brian Hoyer is the kind of guy who got to see one of the best in the business, the way that he did things in Tom Brady in New England, and I think we'll learn a lot about that. It's about the team. It's about doing whatever he can to make the Cleveland Browns the best team that they can be, and if he can do that by being the quarterback, great. If he can do that by mentoring Johnny Manziel, that's great too. I think he will. I think they'll have a good working relationship together. They'll compete. Maybe they're not going to be best friends ultimately in the end, but because they are going after the same thing, but I think they're going to have a very good working relationship. And actually, Tony Grossi wrote a good article at ESPNCleveland.com talking with Gary Danielson about what it was like for him as the quarterback when Bernie Kosar was drafted and Bernie Mania was going wild, and how he embraced that role, and he had some advice to Brian Hoyer to just kind of embrace it and try to do the best that you can, but try to make sure that you're helping the future of the franchise out as well while you go through that process. And I think that's a good way to look at it. Jim in Akron, not a fan of Johnny Manziel, joins us now here on CBD.
How you guys doing?
What's up, Jim?
Hey, I'm a fan of Manziel, but I just can't stand the way people are putting him in the Hall of Fame before the guy's even played. I mean, it brings a circus to the town, and that's great if he can play. If he can't, none of that means anything.
Well,
you can't tell me that Jimmy Haslam did not see dollar signs when he drafted him either. No one will ever convince me of that.
I don't think, first of all, it would be naive to think that there isn't some sort of a business element, because you're doing it with everybody. Your number one goal, make your team better. You make your team better, you make more money. Okay, that's a bottom line of the good business relationship.
Yes.
Between football and business. So let's get past that. It applies to every draft and every position. Is he extraordinarily more? I will say this. The boost that he brings, either in ticket sales or merchandise sales, while notable for sure, does not make or break your selling season as an organization. It has to be much bigger than that. One guy that I don't know of in the history of the game, yes, we chart these numbers in the business journals of sports that cover this, the industry journalists who cover this in sports industry will note this, but it's not the tilting meter to tell you exactly that your team is going to survive or not, or be much better off financially or not because of one guy. It has to be the collective. You have to win ultimately to see the sustainable success, to keep butts in the seats for the whole season, and therefore have those people also spend money, even if they've bought the tickets, that they show up and that they spend money when they're in the stadium. But the other point here is, to your point of if he doesn't play well, and how it blows, and Nathan, that douses the whole thing. If he doesn't perform well, the circus will leave town very quickly, and someone will be cleaning up the stuff after the elephants.
No question. Right. He needs to deliver, and nobody's saying that he's a Hall of Famer. I'm certainly not saying that he's a Hall of Famer yet. I'm excited about what he can do, and a little enthusiasm for a team that's looking for that spark. Nothing wrong with that. I think this is going to be a team that ultimately, if it gets good quarterback play, is going to be very competitive this year on the strength of its defense and its ability to run the football. And whether that's Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel, I think that will bear itself out over the summer. Chevy in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I want to say that Manziel has really elevated the organization. Everything I thought would happen, we needed a leader on offense, we're getting. Of course, we cannot discount Hoyer's value to the team because he's so cerebral and he's so accurate. He's a great quarterback. The Shanahans can pick running backs in the late rounds. That's been proven. And finally, I would say you cannot underestimate the mystique of the Cleveland Browns. Once we get going, look out. Thank you.
Okay.
I agree. The momentum here, and a lot of the players that I've talked to have just basically said, like, you know, guys who have been here and really have a sense that things are turning in the right direction. So this town is going to be so wild when we win here. It is going to be just a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And we've got much more from what took place this weekend. We'll hear from Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Browns. We want to continue to hear from you, getting some really good calls on these and the other topics. But again, asking you one more time, again, the national media, was it a big deal that they weren't allowed to be part of this whole media thing that went on this past weekend with the rookie minicamp? And two, for Johnny's sake, did you come around? Have you changed your perspective? A couple of you are weighing in that you either didn't want to see him and still not really thrilled about it, and others, like our previous caller, saying the opposite, saying, hey, they're happy and they see this mystique thing. I like that word, mystique. And we want your general thoughts, too, from rookie minicamp, from the coverage you've seen of it, and more takeaways on that as we get ready also for the OTAs that are coming up this week. It is Cleveland Browns Daily, Nathan and Vic right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.